Was there a favorite child in your family? We've got people with kids. Was there a favorite child in your family? I know in our family, my parents would never admit this, but yes, there was. My youngest sister, she got all the favoritism, cut all the slack. She could just do no wrong. Oh, she was the youngest and the cutest. And we had six, so we had a lot of cute, you know. So a lot of cute in our family, my sisters in particular. And the girls were next, you know, in favor, you know, as to line them up. And the boys, we got nothing. Get out there and fend for yourselves. Pay your own college tuition. Be a man. Were you ever the teacher's pet? I certainly wasn't one of the teacher's pets. I never put my arm up. There was someone in our class that had their arm up as the question was being phrased, ready to answer, and got called on all the time. Kind of like a teacher's pet, and they were so smart. They earned it. Well, the world is full of favored treatment. People are always treating people very favorably and, you know, picking favorites. And we can't help it. We all kind of do that. We all have favorites, right? Does God have favorites? Does God have favorites? If you'd turn over to 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. I don't want you to beat me there, but you are. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, there you have it. God's for everybody, right? Everybody. He wants all to be saved. Turn over to Titus 2. Titus 2, verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. He has special people. And we all know the ubiquitous scripture in John 3:16. It's a classic. It's quoted by church growers and those that, you know, profess to be Christians. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God is for everyone. God is for everyone, but does he have favorites? Does he give his favor to some? Today I want to talk about the favor of God. The favor of God. Well, what is favor? What is favor? From dictionary.com, something done or granted out of goodwill rather than from justice or for remuneration, a kind act. Second, friendly or well-disposed regard or goodwill. That's favor. The state of being approved or held in regard. That's favor. Excessive kindness or even unfair partiality and preferential treatment. Could God be guilty of favoritism? I think that we will find that, yes, God does favor some, and he has favorites. The word favorite is a person or thing regarded with special favor or preference. To be somebody's favorite means that you get special attention. It also means you're probably doing something right if you're going to be a favorite. Generally speaking, it's not the black sheep of the family that's the favorite. It's just the way it works. So that wasn't Robin in my family. We boys, we were on the edge of black sheep. Wouldn't it be nice to be one of God's favorites? Wouldn't it be nice to be one of his favorites? Wouldn't it be nice if you got better gifts? Maybe more gifts, better opportunities. Better opportunities. I think that when you have the favor of God, it simply means that you are one of God's favorites. It's just that simple. We can get better gifts, better opportunities, and we can be fully empowered to fulfill the destiny that he has chosen for us, and that's to be in his kingdom. Well, part of that empowerment is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Part of God's favor on us is the Holy Spirit. It equips us to serve him faithfully. We get that equipment. We have Pentecost coming up tomorrow, and you're going to hear a lot more about that tomorrow, obviously. But if you turn to John 14, we'll just take a look very quickly at this favor that God grants us. John 14 and verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that it may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees it nor knows it, but you know it, for it dwells with you and will be in you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the promise of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. In verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that's extra. We get extra help. And we need it. We need the extra help. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it will teach you of all things and bring you to remembrance of all things that I said to you. So it helps us when we read the words that Jesus said, what he told the disciples. It reveals the truth to us. It helps us understand and remember what he has told us. This is an incredible favor of God. This boost, this power boost that we get from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can help change that we cannot possibly change on our own. Helps us do things that we can't do. We can't do them by ourselves. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. Before we began to find truth, you know, through the church and through our own study, the Bible can seem like a giant puzzle. It just doesn't make any sense. But with his Holy Spirit, with his guidance, and his favor, we can understand the book and how much it means to us. The Spirit is the intercessor with God. It's an intercessor. It's our guide. It's our guidebook for life. In Ephesians 3, and verse 16, let's read that one right quick. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Spirit is working inside of us. I like the way that this was put in the NIV. It says, I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit in your inner being. God's favor is heavy on you. Isn't that great that we have God's favor? And it's heavy on us because of the Spirit. How has God shown his favor in the past? You might say, I don't recall anything, you know, God being particularly picking favorites. I think it's best to look. In Exodus 3, verse 21. Exodus 3, verse 21. These instructions were given to Moses and passed on to Israel. It says, I will give his people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Yes, Moses was about to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And after all that had happened, the Egyptians were still not looking very favorably on the Israelites. They'd sooner see them dead. But certainly they preferred them as slaves, since their society relied on them and they were very successful slaves. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Well, that was a miracle. That was a miracle that they received that favor at that point in time. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. As they were going to leave Israel, Egypt, and the Egyptians had to be just completely inflamed with rage after all that had happened to them. And the death of their firstborn children. And yet God put it into their minds and gave the Israelites favor in their sight. In Exodus 11, again we see this favor. Exodus 11, in verse 3. And I will give this people, the Israelites, again, favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. He arranged to make sure that they were well taken care of with goods and everything from gold and silver to farm animals to everything they needed to survive on this journey, at least for a ways out there. They had to rely on God, of course. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. In Numbers 6, beginning in verse 22, God is speaking to Moses. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless and keep you. This is what God wanted relayed to the Israelites. This is what he was trying to get across to them. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Graciousness is favor. Make his face shine. Make God smile. You can make God smile by obeying him. Verse 26, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is what you can have, Israel. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. He's going to give them special favor. Special favor. We see other favor was given to individuals. In Genesis 6 and verse 8, we find the story of Noah, and he was living in a very, very sick society. There was a reason that God chose Noah Noah had a mission in life. He was born with a destiny to do something special for God. But he was living in the middle of a corrupt, perverse, and very immoral generation. In fact, the Bible says that God looked on the state of mankind and he was sorry that he'd ever made them. It made him rethink his whole creation. Can you imagine how bad that was? God was ready to start over. And he chose Noah in Genesis 6, verse 8 in the New Living Testament. But Noah found favor with the Lord. In the New King James, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Grace and favor. They're often interpreted the same from the Hebrew. Noah was a man of destiny. God chose him to perform a specific task. And you know, he was faithful. He was very, very faithful. Not only for years, but for decades, for generations, literally. His destiny was to build an ark and provide a fresh start for all of humanity. Can you imagine being chosen for that job? Why was he one of God's favorites? Why did God favor him? Because he obeyed him. He obeyed him. He respected God. He had faith in what God said. Everyone else was scoffing. Not Noah. He says, God, you say it. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. I didn't know it was going to be this long. I didn't know it was going to take decades. But if you say it's going to rain, I believe you. I'll do your work. I'll fulfill my destiny. I'd like to look at another individual in the Old Testament that was greatly favored. In Genesis 39, Genesis 39, we'll begin in verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight. He found favor in Potiphar's sight, and he served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So if you go back to the story of Joseph, of course he was the favorite of his father. It says right in Scripture, in Genesis 37, verse 3, that Jacob favored Joseph. It was his favorite child. He was the youngest. He did favor him. In Genesis 39, again in verse 5, so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. He blessed the Egyptian's house. That's favor on Joseph that spilled over to the Egyptian. And the blessings of the Lord that was on all that he had in the house and in the field. It was incredible to have Joseph on your side because it's obvious God was blessing him. He was special in God's eyes. He was favored. Then comes the story of Potiphar's wife. And she accuses him of sexually assaulting her. And what could Potiphar do? He had to believe his wife. Probably shouldn't have. He probably knew her well enough that maybe he should not have believed her. But he had to take action. So Joseph was thrown in prison. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. That's verse 20. And he was there in the prison. Now about this time, if you're Joseph, you're thinking, am I really favored by God? You know, first of all, I get thrown down in a pit, and I'm this close to being killed by my brothers, and yet they're smart enough to sell me. Okay. So now I'm sold into slavery. Wow, where's God's favor now? Oh, brother. Is God really taking care of me? It doesn't look like it. I'm going to work as a slave. Well, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to trust that God has a plan for me. That's all going super well. His master is successful beyond his wildest dreams because of the favor that God had for Joseph. And then this wife comes along, wrecking the whole thing. Back in prison. Back in prison. What happened to God's favor? What happened to God's favor then? Back in prison. Well, I'm gonna make a model prisoner. I'm going to try and be a model prisoner. So in verse 20, Joseph's master took him, put him in prison, place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So once again, the favor of God began to play out in his life. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all of the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. He was in charge of the prison. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your favor. It's bad enough I got to be in prison, but at least I'm in charge. The keeper of the prison, verse 23, did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. That's incredible. The keeper of the prison decided to take some time off because, hey, Joseph's got it all under control. I could only mess things up if I interjected. And he just didn't even look into anything because he knew it was being done right, because that was Joseph, a sharp young man and living with the favor of God. When you live in the favor of God, you are empowered. You are empowered to do things that you can't do on your own. You can't make these things happen. We're empowered. And Joseph was empowered to fulfill his destiny, to save the nation of Israel from famine, to provide food for the Egyptians, lead the country as a high minister in the government. He led Egypt through the famine, and he did provide the safety that his brothers and his family needed, and the prosperity that they were able to move right into. He was a favored son to begin with. And God also favored him and worked in his life in really incredible ways that he would have never thought. And yet his destiny was in the hands of God all along. He didn't know that. He didn't know that. But he kept working. He kept trying to do the best he could in every circumstance. No matter what the circumstance was, Joseph always rose to the top. He was a favorite slave. He was a favorite prisoner. He was favored by the Pharaoh to be prime minister of Egypt. God did exactly what he wanted to with the life of Joseph. He favored him for his own purpose. He achieved his destiny. And in every season of his life, he did well. because of the hand of God. Let's turn over to Psalms 44. Psalms 44. We'll see a little bit of the favor that God had for Israel. In Psalm 44, verse 1, the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah, "We have heard with our ears, O God, O fathers have told us, the deeds you did in their days, in the days of old." He's remembering back when Egypt had the Israelites as slaves. He remembers back their redemption from that. "You drove out the nations with your hand." Here's a band of ragtag slaves, and yet, when they came to the promised land, they were able to drive out the other nations. "You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted." He planted Israel there. "You afflicted the peoples and cast them out. For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword." It wasn't anything that they did, their prowess as soldiers and military men, "nor did their own arm save them." It wasn't their arm. And it wasn't because they were so righteous in serving God. God had His purpose. "Nor did their own arm save them, but it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them." Israel was favored. And Israel has always been favored according to God's promises. And we live under that favor today, even undeservedly, because it's all part of the master plan. Well, how about our accomplishments? Are they all because we're extra smart? We're extra good? We're better than the next Christian? What about the things that we do? Who gets credit? You think it might possibly be the favor of God that allows us to do what we're able to do and to serve in the way that we serve, to be diligent mentors, you know, to our children? The favor of God is very interesting. And if you'll turn over to Isaiah 45, we'll look at something that's a little bit more revealing about the favor of God. Isaiah 45, and we'll begin in verse 1. "Thus says the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held." What? God is holding the right hand of Cyrus, that dictator, "to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you." God is going to go before Cyrus. That's what he says. "I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. And I will give you the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel." Why did he do it? Why did he give favor to Cyrus? It was for his own reasons, for his own chosen nation, the nation of Israel. Verse 4, "For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me." Cyrus didn't know God, not really. He had some examples of those that followed God in the few in Israel. But he didn't know God. I have named you, though you have not known me, for I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I think we can clearly see that God favors who he wills for his own purpose. For his own purpose. There are others that God has shown great favor to. In Luke 1 verse 26. Luke 1 verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, the mother of Jesus. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one." Mary, the mother of Jesus, was highly favored to be the mother of Jesus. She was qualified in the mind of God to get this favor and to be a favorite. She was chosen as the mother, the one who, besides God himself, would have probably the mother and father, the most influence on this child of anyone. Rejoice, highly favored one. Mary was favored by God. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. It's incredible when God reaches out and picks you or me, picks us as a favorite and to be favored in our lives. Let's turn over to Luke 2 and see a little bit about the early life of Jesus. Luke 2, speaking of Jesus, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And that grace, often translated favor, as well, the favor of God was upon him. Of course, he was the Son of God. He was sent on a mission. His parents went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus, 12 years old, lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. Well, you got the caravan. He's probably in the back wagon, you know. So they didn't know exactly. Well, he's with one of the rest of the relatives. I'm sure he's here somewhere. This is the way our family was at church. We went to the feast. There were eight of us. You never kept track of everybody. It was everybody's job to watch out for somebody else. Well, you know, Jesus was called to a special calling, and he decided that he would do something a little bit different and leave the caravan. But when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and then Joseph and his mother, they didn't know it. They didn't know where he was. They just figured he's in the caravan somewhere. We'll, you know, I'm sure he'll come to dinner, you know, when we ring the dinner bell. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey. They didn't see him for the day. I remember we left my sister Barbara at a place on the way to the feast. No one noticed for about 15 or 20 miles. Where's Barbara? Oh, Yeah, we left her at the convenience store. We better go back. She was crying when we found her, by the way. And the rest of us were laughing. When he got a car full and, you know, someone's in each of the floorboards and someone's across the back of the window, totally illegal, of course, nowadays, but that's the way we traveled. That's the way we rolled. So when they didn't find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. So now was after 3 days, and you got to know they're panicking by now. Jesus, I'm entrusted with the Son of God, and he's gone. How could I have done this? What is God going to do to me? And so it was, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. They were slightly more than amazed. They were a little bit miffed, I would say. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. We've been worried." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Now he answered that like a 40-year-old instead of a 12-year-old. He was still a child. And his mother and his father had been searching for him for days. But they didn't understand the statements which they spoke. It didn't make any sense. This is a kid, you know. He's in the temple. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. You get that? He had to learn a little lesson there. You just don't tell your parents where you're going. Or if you say we're going to be back at 10, you better be back at 10. Was this a sin? No. Was this a mistake by Jesus to not inform his parents? Probably. Yeah. I mean, we have to say so. Not a sin. But yes, he should have told his parents, I'm on a mission. I want to go sit in the temple and learn from the scholars. I want to ask them questions. They can ask me. I know a lot of things that they might be interested in. He didn't do any of that. He skipped out. We've all done it, right? We've all skipped out and didn't tell our parents exactly where we're going or what we're doing. And that's what Jesus did. Once again, not a sin, but he learned a lesson. He was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. So mom had to say, "Whew, okay, I got him back. I don't exactly know what was going on there, but sure glad to have Jesus right back in the camp." And it goes on to say, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Could God's favor be even building with his own son Jesus? He was growing in favor with God and men. Of course, he soon fell out of favor with men. That was his destiny. That's what he was called to do. They would not appreciate his knowledge. They would not appreciate his teachings. And they thought the Romans thought he was come to be a king to kick them out and bring back the nation of Israel. But he increased in wisdom and stature. He gained some wisdom from running away from his parents and finding out you really shouldn't do that. You should let them know what's going on. So how do we get the favor of God? We all want the favor of God. I think most of us have the favor of God. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the favor of God. How do we get and keep the favor of God? Let's turn back to see what he told Israel back in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28. And we'll start in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Well, there it is. What are you going to do? Diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments. And then you're going to be set high. You're going to have the favor of God above all nations. That was within the grasp of Israel for eternity. But they couldn't stay on the straight path. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. These blessings are going to chase you down. I want to give you all the blessings in the world. They're going to chase you down and they're just going to overrun you with blessings. Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Oh, there's that word, obey. Oh, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? We have to do something. We have to obey. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. You're going to be a fantastic agrarian nation that's growing food not only for yourselves but for others. You're a blessing to everyone. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. Wouldn't we like for that to happen now? Our enemies to be defeated before our face because of this obedience. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you in seven ways. And that happened. Over and over, Israel was blessed. Not because they were perfect. They were not perfect. They were far, far, far from perfect. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses, in all of which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people. Yeah, that's right. You're going to be a holy people because I favor you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord and walk in his ways. Then all people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. That's not true anymore, is it? Even of our nation, who has been immensely blessed. Not very many people afraid of us anymore. The Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to you and your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain on your land in due season, and bless you all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. That's certainly not the case now. Ask the Chinese. We're borrowed into the trillions in their investment in treasuries in the United States. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If you heed the commandments of our Lord your God, which I commanded you today, and are careful to observe them. Well, he told them right from the start exactly what they had to do. What they had to do to get to favored nation status. He had to diligently obey the voice of the Lord to observe carefully all his commandments that he commanded them. The bottom line is this, obedience to God brings favor from God. It does bring God's favor. Let's look at some other examples of what brings God's favor to us. Psalms 5. Psalms 5 in verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as a shield. He's going to bless the righteous. And we'll have the favor of a shield around us to protect us. Psalm 30. Psalm 30 in verse 1. Psalm 30 in verse 1. A psalm, a song at the dedication of the house of David. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. If you're one of God's favorites, if you're favored by God and you cry out to him, he'll heal. He does heal. He does perform miracles. Sometimes we're healed in ways that we can't understand as humans. Oh, I'm going to be dying? Yes, that's your favor today. Yes. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive. How many times have we been kept alive when maybe we didn't deserve it? That I should not go down into the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. So we praise God. We thank God. We remember his holy name. Those are all things that will gain his favor. For his anger is but for a moment. Does God get upset with us when we sin? Yes, he does. He wants us to get right down on our knees and repent. For his anger is but for a moment. If he flashes his anger too much at us, we disappear like a waft of air. His favor is for life. We can keep his favor, and it can be for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In Psalms 35, Psalm 35, verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. We favor God's cause, God gives us favor. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God has pleasure in our prosperity. As long as we're being willing to say, the Lord be magnified. You're the important one, God. Your plan is what's important in our lives. Psalm 75. Just a few scriptures. I remember it. A gentleman in the church, he was an evangelist back in the worldwide days, and we would go through and count how many scriptures he used because it would be just enormous. His name was Mr. Smith, and many of you might know him, but he was big on scriptures. And we used to think, 100 scriptures? Is that possible? Okay, 85, keep going. You know, we'll get there. But you can't go wrong. As long as you're in the book, you can't go wrong. Who can argue with you? Are we going to argue with God? No, we're not. Psalm 75 in verse 6. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. God chooses. God chooses. It's His choice. It's His choice who to favor and who not to favor, based on our actions. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give favor, will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing will He withhold. We like good things. He won't withhold them from us if we walk uprightly. We saw what He instructed Israel. Those same instructions apply to us. O Lord of hosts, verse 12, blessed is the man who trusts in You. We trust God to do the right thing. He has a plan for our lives. We have a destiny. We were called. He knows where we're headed, even though we may see some incredible bumps along the way. And we may experience times when we can't imagine that God is favoring us. No, God has left. He's not interested in me now. That is never the case. That is never the case. The Lord is righteous. In Psalm 145, verse 17. 145 and verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Remember that truth that's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit? To all who call upon Him in truth, He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Now, we all experience a lot of times when we want to be saved. When we want God to reach out and supernaturally save us, rescue us from this situation we're in. We can't fix it. Only God can. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He's going to destroy. Can't be in that final group. God doesn't want anybody in that final group. And there are going to be very, very few, because God is so powerful. And when He puts His favor on people, you see big changes. And that's why He wants all to be saved and will save virtually everyone. In Proverbs 3, in verse 1, it says, My son, do not forget My law, but let your heart keep My commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. This works for God. But it also works for man, for others that you associate with. Length of days, long life, peace. Write God's truths in our heart. And thus we find favor and high esteem. Favor plus high esteem in the sight of God and men. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 and verse 32. Proverbs 8, 32. Now therefore, listen to Me, My children. For blessed are those who keep My way. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to Me, watching daily at My gates, waiting at the post of My door. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. There's a lot of references in the Bible to favor. I'd never really checked into this very much in the past. Whoever finds me, if we find Jesus Christ in God, we find the source of life. We find the source to eternal life. And once we find that, God's favor pours over us. And God's favor is in us through the working of His Holy Spirit. In Proverbs 11, in verse 27, he who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. That's just the axiom of life. Seek good, find favor. Seek evil, and trouble will follow. Trouble will follow. Proverbs 12, verse 2. Proverbs 12, verse 2, next page. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. It's just like the previous scripture. A good man obtains favor. It's another axiom. But a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. You're not going to be on God's favorite list. He's going to condemn you if you're wicked and you don't repent. In Proverbs 14, fools, verse 9, fools mock at sin, but among the upright there's favor. So we see over and over again, righteousness, uprightness. Those that seek God, we find favor. So how does this favor of God work in our lives? How does it work in our lives? If you turn over to Psalm 65. We'll begin in verse 2. O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come. That's to God. They're going to come to God. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you will provide atonement for them. Blessed is the man you choose and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. By awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. Well, first of all, in verse 2, he answers our prayers if we pray to him. In verse 3, he forgives our sins. He wipes out our transgressions. He provided that atonement. That atonement was Jesus Christ. That we can have that atonement for our sins. We can go down on our knees and repent and be absolved of those sins. He says, blessed is the man that you choose. You choose. You chose us. And you've caused us to approach you. We're approaching you, God. By awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us. He answers us with awesome deeds. You say you've never had anything awesome happen to you? Really? How many have never had anything awesome happen to them? No. We have many awesome things happen to us. We should have a ledger and write them all down. That would be handy. He answers us with awesome deeds. That's what God's favor looks like, you know, to us. Let's look at a prophecy for a moment in Malachi 3. Malachi 3. And verse 16, Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them talking to one another. What? What about the plan of God and about salvation and about God and about serving God and about His commandments? And those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. These people are mine. I'm claiming them. I favor them. They're my favorites. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. We're going to be God's jewels. God's jewels. His gold pocket watch. His braid of gold. His big diamond ring. It won't be diamond. You treasure these things. You protect them. You safeguard them. We're going to be His jewels. And He says He's going to spare us as a man spares his own son who serves him. We can't forget that part. We have to serve Him. But He's going to treat us like your kid. You love your kids. We love our grandkids. God loves all of us. He loves all of us. He wants to favor us. That's what He wants most to do. He wants to call you one of His favorites. So how has God favored you? How has He favored me? Oh, if we could literally count the ways. How many miracles have been done on your behalf that you know nothing about? How many times has God saved you from yourself? Recently have been reading on Ambassador Forum, and this is alumni of Ambassador College from way back, all the way to, I guess, the 70s, 80s, you know, somewhere in there. And there's been a big discussion of miracles, and I was surprised to see all the miracles that were related on the website. Miracle after miracle after miracle in people's lives. When's the last time that God and His angels saved you from an incredible traffic accident that you were this close to being snuffed out? Do you recall a few instances when you've had brushes with death? And yet, here you are. Here you are, by the favor of God. We're often saved from accidents. I can remember two very specifically in my life. That one of them occurred in Vietnam. And my partner in business there, his name is Tom Hudak, and I were traveling in a small van on a two-lane road in the highlands of Vietnam. And we come around this corner, and there was a bus bearing down on us, totally in our lane. And we both just, literally, we said, God help us, because we knew we were going to be in the worst accident in our lives, and we're probably going to be killed. We were doing about 55, the bus was doing about 70. And we instinctively just kind of dove to the floorboard in a split second. And somehow this bus, and we'll never know, I wish I could see the movie. I do believe that an angel reached out and saved us. It was that close. No one could explain it. The driver said at the last second he closed his eyes. We're being escorted. People drive crazy in Vietnam as it is. And I believe that God saved us. Did he favor us? Does he have a higher purpose? Do we have a destiny? I say, yes, we do. Never let your tires get bald, okay? This is a good lesson for all of us. It's traveling in our, not a company car, but in our personal car, and I had not been paying attention to the tires. And, oh, they weren't that bad. So I'm driving back from Dallas one late afternoon, and it is pouring rain. And I do mean what they call a toad strangler. And I'm going down Interstate 20, and I'm seeing people that have slid off the highway and are in the median. I'm thinking, oh, those guys, they better slow down. You know, this is ridiculous. They're not driving right, you know. So about 3 seconds later, I'm in the midst of two donuts in my lane. Never left the highway, but I did two full circles in my car. And I wound up with one tire on the edge of where the rumble strips are. When I finally stopped, and I said a quick prayer, thank you, Father, for I'm not in the ditch like everyone else is, and I'm alive. I didn't go across the median and run headlong into a truck. I had to sit there about 5 minutes, get my composure, check my pants. But God works in ways that we don't know. We can't, you know, catalog all the things that the angels do for us because we're favored. How many sicknesses have you avoided? Sure, we all get sick. But I personally count all the many times I've been overseas and I've never gotten sick. I think that is the grace, the favor of God. Because my partner has been in the hospital in several occasions in these countries, in these same countries. You get deathly ill. You take a drink of water, you eat a piece of lettuce. How many times has God protected you from sickness? How about on the job? You ever get a raise you didn't deserve, maybe, and think, the favor of God? No, we usually don't. You know, I earned that. Maybe not. Maybe not. That raise you just got, that promotion, did God have anything to do with it? Because you are favored. I say we need to examine those kind of things. We need to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be in the favor of God? Do you have wonderful children? I hope we all do. But having wonderful children can be a favor of God. It sure can. God favors parents, and therefore he favors the children. We have blessing of little children so that angels will protect our little ones. That is a favor that God grants to us as his people. You got a great wife or a great husband, a spouse? Maybe that's God's favor that you found someone that can put up with you. It's all for God's purpose. For whatever God's purpose for you and God's purpose for me, it's all for his purpose. And it's all in his master plan. And you say, me, little old me, I'm part of God's plan? Yes, we are. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we're part of his plan. In conclusion, let's remember the favor of the Holy Spirit. We've got Pentecost coming up tomorrow, and you'll hear a lot more about it. But let's remember the favor that we are granted by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, we were here earlier with Ed Weiss. And by the way, I was expecting Mr. Weiss to wear his turban today. Mr. Weiss was injured in a little accident at the plant. And I haven't seen the picture yet, but my wife saw it. And, saw him after he got back from having a few staples put in his head. And he had his whole head wrapped up. And I was really looking forward to seeing him give his sermonette with his head in a turban. But he's recovering because of the grace of God and by his favor. He's recovering very nicely. Romans 8. We'll begin in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We're the children of God. We're the favored children of God. We are His favorites. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. If you want to be one of God's favorites, if you want to be favored by God, we've got to do what He says. It's in the book. Do what He says. Especially the life of Christ and all the examples that He set. We have to humble ourselves. We've got to ask for salvation. We've got to seek salvation. We've got to pursue it. We've got to be a faithful Christian. A faithful Christian. A follower of Christ. We've got to be a shining example of God in our everyday life. We've got to shine for Him. Because He's favored us. We do this, we will know the favor of God. God's favor is an incredibly important component in our lives. After all, we're talking about the favor of God. And when you have the favor of God in your life, you are fully empowered to fulfill your destiny and become a son of God in His kingdom.